Our ancestors sailed across oceans in leaky wooden boats and conquered continents. They fed the poor and healed the sick. They measured the width of the heavens and the weight of the atom. They survived 40,000 years of famine, plague, invasion. We will survive nihilism and despair because we are their children. We are Europa's children. Hello, I'm Kenaz Phylon, and the existence of our people is not negotiable. Hello, welcome to Europa's Children. You are here for our third podcast with Kenaz Phylon. Now, I have to start out by saying I never expected to get so much mileage out of a pile of shit as I did with the San Francisco podcast. A commenter on that podcast noted, complained, all my favorite bloggers are going to podcasts and I'm a reader. And, I sympathize with that because, truth be told, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts myself. I listen to music for pleasure. Yet generally, when I want information, I'm going to try to find text. So I was sympathetic with that. And I wrote an article, a blog entry. It's a really interesting exercise taking a subject from podcasting to blogging. Podcasting is very spontaneous, very personal. I've been trying to use as few notes as possible because I think podcasting is at its best when you're just talking to people. I find blogging tends to become more cerebral. A lot of larger words that really don't work in podcasts, I tend to use a different vocabulary. It takes a very different approach to the same message. And so for the blogging, I was talking about Julia Kristeva. She's a Bulgarian philosopher. One of her most famous theories is the theory of the abject and abjection. The abject is that thing you respond to with horror and nausea because you want to distance yourself from it, but you can't get entirely away from it. Part of the horror is your own identification with it. It's like the embarrassment you'd feel about like wetting your pants in public, that kind of just abject shame. What is more abject than when you have the breakdown of the social order to such a point that you have people defecating in your streets? Toilet training is the first thing we learn with our socialization. We have to learn to where to put our waste and where it can be safely covered and disposed of. We're pack primates. We have to do that to keep the pack going. Otherwise, we get diseases. It's unsanitary. This is a very basic instinct, and the fact that it's been so subverted in San Francisco is just, arguments are one thing, but you can't really overlook the pile of shit on your front doorstep. In that blog post, I also talked about the ways in which medieval Europe dealt with lepers. And being a leper was pretty abject historically. You were cast out from the population because of your disease, and it was a pretty horrible disease. Parts of you were falling off. You generally stunk of decay from the rotting flesh you were carrying around with you, open sores. But yet, while lepers were cast out, they also had this holy status. They were suffering for their sins in this lifetime. When you helped a leper, you were helping that leper with his atonement, and you were atoning for your own sins. So medieval lords would bandage lepers, they would wash their sores, they would kiss their sores, and would hope that the rotting stench of decay that came from these poor people would thereby be transmuted into the sweet perfume of Christ. Today in San Francisco, we have a new techno-feudal aristocracy. We've got a few very powerful noble lords, we've got a lot of courtiers employed by them. And the way they earn their indulgences is by speaking up for the downtrodden. San Francisco has a homeless crisis, but the number of drop-in shelters, the number of centers they have, the number of resources available to a homeless person in San Francisco are among the best in the country. And a great deal of the problem lies with the religion of San Francisco's new techno-feudal aristocrats. It's a form of secular humanism that's popular in upper-middle-class circles in America today. It's certainly overrepresented among the intelligentsia within academia. It's a religion which privileges individual freedom above all else, and which sees any forms of repression as inherently evil and wrong. This religion also has its leper veneration in the form of intersectionality. Intersectionality gives us axes of oppression by which we can judge the ways in which a person doesn't fit in with mainstream society being, of course, seen as a bad thing, and honor their differences and help them find their places of power, and a whole lot of other jargon which manages the impressive feat of being even wordier and more pretentious than medieval Latin. San Francisco's homeless population checks off many boxes on the intersectionality checklist. They're impoverished. They're mentally ill. They're often ex-convicts or drug addicts. A person looking to get ahead in San Francisco's techno-feudal social circles can win all sorts of points by saying nice things about the homeless, and by denouncing the systems of injustice and oppression that put them on the streets. They'll lose a lot of social points should they fail to recognize their privilege over the marginalized and oppressed homeless people who are pooping in their streets. And so we get a lot of gestures toward the homeless. We get a lot of services which are able to help those homeless who are capable of seeking help. What we don't get are programs which will meet the need of those homeless San Franciscans who are incapable of seeking help. Over at Gab, that wretched hive of scum and villainy, my friend and fellow Pendulum writer John Young offered some excellent commentary on the subject. Now, John and I are both in agreement that we need to do something, but John has some very serious and frankly very valid concerns about whether the structures and techniques we have in place are capable of dealing with it. And of course, John is absolutely right. Today, psychiatry is more concerned with drugging patients than with talking through the root cause of their problems. Modern psychology is more concerned with pathologizing the normal than in healing desperately ill minds. We have a psychiatric pharmacological complex that would have scared the shit out of General Eisenhower. We have all these things. We have real problems. But we also have real responsibilities. I know the word responsibility is unfashionable nowadays. So are the words civic duty. Civic comes from civitatis, city. It's your duty to your city, to your state, to your community. The elected officials of San Francisco, the politicians of San Francisco, the bureaucrats of San Francisco have a responsibility to their people. And when on their watch, they can't even stop people from defecating in the streets, then they are in abrogation of that duty. This is one of the big places where I see the dissident right differing from the dissident left. The left is really good at recognizing crises. They're also very good at capitalizing on them. You'll note every time a leftist academic publishes a screed and call to action, we can no longer be constrained by those bourgeois ideas. Freedom of speech is freedom of intolerant speech, and we can't have that. We need the power to reshape the world into a better, more tolerant place. On the dissident right, there's a recognition that power corrupts. There's a recognition that powerful people will abuse powerful structures to their own benefit. There's an understanding of the dangers of power, of giving the government power to declare somebody incompetent. to take away their civil rights and to hold them against their will. Use of involuntary commitment has to be closely monitored. It has to be used sparingly and only in the most desperate cases. But I also believe that today the streets of San Francisco, the streets of America, are filled with those desperate cases. John also suggested that community-based organizations would be better suited to handle the homeless crisis, the mental health crisis, than large government organizations. And this is another difference you see between the right and the left. On the left, there's this idea we need universal health care controlled by the government. We need more government regulation of hate speech. We need more government regulation to cure all of these problems. And this is very interesting because historically the left has been anti-censorship, anti-authority. Today you've got people on the right screaming about the power of a few mega-billion-dollar social media companies to control the discourse, while people on the left are cheering them on and complaining they're not doing enough to silence unpopular opinions. There's a strong libertarian streak in the dissident right. Most of us favor as little government as possible and as little legislation as possible. I'll grant you libertarianism is a bit of a controversial topic in some of our right-wing circles. Certainly among my friends at Pendulum it is. But I think above all else, and I would argue this is the defining characteristic of the dissident right. This is what sets us apart. On the left, you have a great focus on the individual. Society exists to help the individual become his or her authentic true self. When the needs of the self conflict with the needs of society, the focus is generally not on how can we help the individual fit better into society, but how can we reshape society to make it more tolerant of this individual. Within mainstream conservatism, there's this worship of the free market, the idea if we have a free, open, untrammeled market, then everybody will have everything they want, and people will be able to drink Coca-Cola all over the world, and it'll bring prosperity in the American way of life. The dissident right, we're the only people who are focusing on the community, or more precisely, on the communities, on the plural, on groups. We're pack primates. We cannot think of ourselves as individuals or as consumers. We have to understand the importance of the community, of the family. And you know, these are the things that dissident right focuses on. And I think these are things which largely get ignored, save for lip service, if that, by both the mainstream left and the mainstream right. We need to work to rebuild the extended family structures that used to provide for mentally ill relatives. We need to rebuild the fraternal organizations, the community groups, the homegrown responses to homegrown problems. That is a huge undertaking. It's a difficult challenge. We've met difficult challenges before. We can meet this challenge. We have to meet this challenge because right now, San Francisco and Western civilization are in deep shit. I'm Kenaz Filan. Thank you for listening to Europa's Children, and remember, the existence of our people is not negotiable.